How many of you know what the Bible says about people who've lost everything? Did you know that there are people in the Bible who have lost everything? We think that if you're in the Bible, you must have done something right. That all the good people are in the Bible and we venerate them and we remember them. Do you know that there are some really, really strange, in some cases, tragic stories in the Bible? And there in the Bible are people who have lost everything they ever owned and everything they had. And this morning I want to share the profile of that individual. And we want to talk with you about what it means to stand on holy ground. Standing on holy ground. Let me ask you a question. How many of you ever felt like this guy? How many of you feel like this guy? Well, I walked into church, I felt just like this guy. And from time to time, even though you may be a Christian, you can still end up feeling like this. Putting your head in your hands going, woe is me, what has happened? Why is life so miserable? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? And listen to me, saints, it's because you're human. It's because you're normal. It is because trouble is a natural and unavoidable issue in life. That's why, if there is such a thing. And some of us, we like to try to analyze it and say, what sin did I commit that got me in this mess? Well, it may not have been any particular sin, but the fact that you live on this planet, there's going to be some trouble sometimes. And we have to understand that. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up feeling like this guy. Now, I want to talk to some of you for a minute because some of you feel like this guy, but you don't have a right to. You don't supposed to be feeling like this guy, but you choose to feel like this guy because you make your problems bigger than your God. Amen. And you need to get back in the presence of the Lord. That's really the answer for you. Nothing's really bothering you. There really isn't nothing that's taking you out and crushing you or anything like that. Now, I know that some of you might say, wait a minute, Pastor, I do have that. Well, I'm not talking to you on this end. I'm talking to those who complained about the snow and said, I ain't going to church because it snowed. But you have a car. So you don't have a right to feel like this guy. Let me tell you who should feel like this guy. The person who doesn't have shoes or a home and is stuck in this stuff. And nobody cares about them and they don't have a family that they can turn to. That's who has a right to feel like this guy. But there's a whole lot of folk who walk in and they're faking it. They're faking like they're going through a storm and it's just clouds. It's not even raining. It's just cloud. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, take me through the storm. It ain't even raining in your life. But because you want to sound like a victim and you want to sound in such a way that God would have mercy on you, we make up a storm. It ain't no storm. There's none whatsoever. Oh, Lord, my marriage, what's wrong with your marriage? Oh, well, you know, the bills are paid and everything is okay. Well, what's wrong with it? Oh, I feel. How do you feel? Oh, I feel like this guy. And half the time, ain't nothing wrong with us. And sometimes God should just give us a spiritual placebo. You know what a placebo is? You ain't really sick, but here's an aspirin. Just take it. It won't do nothing. But mentally, you'll just start feeling better. And we like to get into this mode. Christians are good at faking this mode where we put our head in our hands and the bills are paid. We put our head in our hands and we're not in the hospital. We put our head in our hands and our spouses are fine. Our marriage is fine. We're just tired of being married. Can I talk to the church today? I don't want to talk to the sinner. Let me talk to the church about that. Just tired of being married. Ain't nothing wrong with your marriage. You're just tired. Nothing wrong with you. You're just tired of living for Jesus. It's just, I don't feel like living for Jesus. That's really what's wrong with you. You put your head in your hands and you fake it and you run to the altar as if something really wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with you. But it just feels good to let people know you're wrong. Something wrong with you. So they put their arms around you and say they're praying for you. Oh, come on, baby. Ain't nothing really wrong with you. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing wrong. I know my wife get tired of me. I know that. There ain't nothing wrong with me. As far as I've checked, I'm good as it gets. What could she possibly be sad about being with someone like me? Even I have to laugh at that one. Well, let's look at Moses before I get into any more trouble. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, I want to go into a couple of verses for a couple of minutes. And this is what I want you to actually start doing while we're covering this message. I want you to think about what you're going to do to get into God's presence. Will you do that for me?
Amen.
Because I'm not going to keep you all day. You think I am, but I'm really not. And you'll see in a minute. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. But see, understand, that's not what Moses always did. He used to be a prince in Egypt. So if you look to your right or to your left here, this is what he used to do. This is where he used to live. He used to live in a palace, but he made some choices. And he suffered some consequences, and he ended up in a desert keeping his father-in-law's sheep. Why? Because he didn't have any. He didn't have any property. He didn't have any sheep. He didn't have any career of any kind. He was a wealthy individual who had lost everything he had. Everything. And we're living in an economy today in which it is possible to lose everything you have. And I know of people who have indeed lost what they have had on. They said, I'm going to move in this house and I'm going to live here. I'm going to pay it off. And they didn't even get to make the payments before they had to foreclose on that particular home. People are losing a lot today. And it's not necessarily because of choices they made. It's really because we live in a sinful, greedy, messed up world that affects everybody else. Did you know that you're affected by what somebody else does? If you don't believe it, did you see snow on the ground? And folks are saying, where did that snow come from? Well, a couple of weeks ago, there was an earthquake near Japan. And a tsunami. And it played with our equator, which played with the angulation of the earth to the sun. And guess what we got? Snow. So we're affected by things that happen, and it's not necessarily a cause and effect in which we are directly impacted, in which we did this and this caused that. It could be something that someone else did that caused this to happen in your life. And that's true. You could have done everything right and still end up in the midst of a storm. You need to understand that, because if you don't, you'll lose your mind. You need to understand that. That's why in marriages, you don't simply let somebody handle all the money. You check with them to make sure that everything is right. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Well, I don't have another example to give you. I want you to chew on that for a minute while you're thinking about chili. So here is Moses at rock bottom. He has lost everything he owned. He has lost everything he had. Not only the money and the wealth and the power, but he has lost the friendship and the family and everything else. He's living with folk he don't know. Living in a place he's never been. But guess what? Guess what's about to happen in his life? Well, something good. Hallelujah. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Exodus. The angel of the Lord appears to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? He didn't even know God was talking to him. And I can do a whole lot more preaching on this. Notice that when Moses was in the palace, we didn't hear anything about God speaking to him. It is not until he gets into the desert and all of a sudden when it is described, now Moses was in the desert of Midian tending his father-in-law's flock, that the angel of God appears. None of the times in which he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt as the top dog competing with the son of Pharaoh for the position of Pharaoh of Egypt, during all that time, God didn't speak. But the moment he lost everything that he had, the moment when all of his wealth and his power and his fame was taken from him and he was on the backside of a desert, in the next verse, guess who shows up? God. There's a lesson for somebody in that. You think being broke is the worst thing in your life. I'm telling you, the worst thing in your life is to not know God. I would rather be on the backside of a desert in the presence of God than to be in the palace in Egypt without God. And the reason why God may not be speaking clearly, if you will, in some of our lives and situations and marriages is because we want the palace and we want the presence. And you got to understand, God doesn't always speak to you from the palace. He will speak to you from the desert. And as long as you want to hold on to a palace mentality of wanting to have all of this world's good and wanting to be top dog and wanting to be this, you cannot try to choose that life and then hear God's voice. You've got to get alone where God can get your attention. That's what you have to do. While Moses is in the desert tending these sheep smell bad. Amen. They are as dumb as can be. They don't always follow right. And you got to watch those sheep and tend those sheep. It is hard labor and hard work. And all of a sudden, guess who shows up? Guess who clocks in? God does. In the midst of Moses' ministry, misery, God comes in the midst of his depression and his despair, while he's got his head in his hands. Look at God. God says, and here I am. Amen. While he was the main man, God was just sitting there listening, watching, waiting, and looking and saying, okay, all right. But when he lost everything, it's as if God is saying, I think he's ready. I think he's ready. You say, well, Pastor, you telling me that I have to be in the midst of a storm in order to hear from God? No, but I'm saying this. You got to quit chasing that dollar and worshiping that money and worshiping this world and worshiping this wicked system. You won't hear from God that way, my friend. You won't hear from him. And as long as you're running the rat race, chasing all the other rats, trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths and the Franklins and the Thompsons and all these other folk, you can't hear. And you're like, why can't I hear from God? Why can't I hear from God? Because you're too busy. You're too caught up in a life that's not even giving you anything. And it's as if God has to take away some stuff to get your attention, to get my attention, in order for us to say, okay, I can hear now. I know a lot of people who've heard from God from a hospital bed, but when they were well and doing fine, they didn't want to listen to God, and they definitely didn't want to listen to you. I've had people who would not even let me say the name Jesus in their presence have reached out to me and said, would you pray for me? I didn't solicit them for prayer. They solicited me. Would you pray for me? I was with someone just yesterday, and I said, hey, let's pray. This person 10 years ago swore up and down, forgive the terse term, I'm Muslim, I'm Muslim, I'm Muslim. And we prayed in Jesus' name. They were grateful. See, when you're in the hospital or when God strips you of something that you think is so important, then you're wondering, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And God is saying, can I have a word with you? And so when you are broken, that is not the time to put your head in your hands. That is the time to say, God, what are you saying in the midst of my brokenness? Because I guarantee you, he speaks more clearly when we're broke than when we're rich. Amen. That's why the gospel was delivered to the poor. They ain't got nothing else. They'll hear this. And that's why the rich young ruler, when Jesus said, hey, make a choice, me or your riches, he said, I got to go. I got to go. I don't want you. I want my wealth. Whenever God takes something from us, or whenever he allows something to be removed from our life that we consider special, it may be God's gentle way of saying, listen up. You need a wake-up call. You've been just messing around with your Christianity. You're not growing. You're not ministering. You're not pursuing. You're not studying. You're not even praying every day. Let me take this job from you for a minute. Let me make this marriage a little bit rocky. Let me rock this boat just for a minute. Maybe you'll start praying again. And in the midst of it, this is what I want you to get out of all this. It wasn't Moses who sought God. I want to leave this with you. It was God looking for Moses. Just because you're in a state of brokenness does not mean that God doesn't have a purpose for you. Let me flip it. In fact, it may make you more useful to God than you ever were. That's what you need to see. It is not your ability that God needs. It's your availability, as some have said. It is not the sense, what would the church do without so-and-so? Someone once asked me, Pastor, have you thought about if something should happen to you, who the next pastor would be? I said, of course I've thought about that. I know that I'm not going to be here forever. I know that the Lord could take me somewhere else, or he could just simply take me out. And guess what? It is appointed once unto man to die. And after that, the judgment. Well, what is your thought, Pastor? I say to that person, the next pastor could be a guy smoking crack right up the street. I don't know who that's going to be. I'm trying to help you to see. It could be anybody who God can use. The next pastor of this church could be a guy who you pass and go, boy, that dude's a loser. Because that person has lost everything. And they don't have nothing. You have to understand, God don't need me. He can infuse and anoint anybody with ability. Amen. He don't need to go shopping for it. When he found Moses, Moses had nothing. In fact, if you were to read on in this text, you'll find Moses couldn't even talk straight. So he wasn't looking for Moses to be the preacher because he made Moses' brother the preacher. Those of you who know this story, Moses was a stutterer. A stammerer. Forgive me, I'm not trying to make fun, but that's how he talked. Imagine me preaching that sermon this way. Moses had a vocal problem. He couldn't speak well, so he didn't have no talent. And God came looking for him. God came looking for him. Man can plan, but God will determine what will happen. Amen. Next slide. Last slide. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. I'm going to be honest with you. If that happens to me, I'm going to have a cardiac. You know, we read these stories and they have become charming little anecdotal mythological stories to us almost. But imagine walking up to a bush and a bush says, hey. And it calls you by your name. The bush calls you by your name. You've never seen the bush, but the bush knows your name. Tell me you're going to say, yeah, what's up? Yeah, hey, what's up, Bush? I was looking, you know, I saw that you're not burning up and stuff. Yeah. How'd you know my name, Bush? What's going on with that, man? What you got going on, Bush? What's up? I would have, you know, I mean, really? Come on, folks. I mean, seriously. The Bush, you go home, you got your lawn manicured, and the Bush says, hey, Mike, you missed a spot. I mean, seriously. Come on. I'd have a cardiac. I wish God would come down. I do not want God to come down and show himself. Oh, I wish for the day of the Lord. Lord, God on those people is your... Oh, you want the day of the Lord, huh? Remember the book of Joel? Oh, where is the day of the Lord? Oh, you want me to come down. You don't want me to come down. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. There's a message in there, isn't it? When he turned aside to look, God called to him. That's the touch point. When God saw Moses turn to him, Then God spoke. Y'all catching it?
Yes.
Wait a minute, Pastor. You mean to tell me that the reason I'm not hearing the clear voice of God may be because I'm not in his presence? That's exactly what I'm saying. You have not turned aside. Yeah, but I'm not a sinner. Yeah, but you're not living like a saint either. You need to turn aside. Well, I don't go drinking and clubbing and this, but you're lying. And so you're doing something. You got something on your record. Well, the Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God saw Moses turn aside and God said, hey, Moses. And you see the exclamation points in this particular verse. God wants to speak to you and he wants to speak clearly, but you've got to position yourself so that you can hear him. God is not going to speak to you while you're listening to everybody else. Many times God will speak his most clear message to you when it's just you and him. But as long as you got all these voices and influences rocking your world, so to speak, and you're not really hearing from God, you're not studying the word of God, you're not looking and praying for God to do something in your life, and you sitting there going, why won't God do something? Because you don't want him to. When it's all said and done, you don't want him to because you like the way things are. Oh, why won't God step in my marriage? Why won't he step in my family? Why won't he do this? Why won't he do that? True story. This pastor tells of a woman who prayed for 25 years that her husband would give up alcoholism and become a Christian. One day during an evening service, this man walks in, drunk as he can be, and he throws himself before the church. And he says, Jesus saves me. Jesus saves him. And guess what happens? He becomes a preacher. The woman leaves church. What is the message? She was fine as long as she had somebody to pick on and pray on. God took her problem away and she didn't have any use. Calls him to preach. She stops coming to church. Some of us think we want God to move and we really don't. I want to speak to somebody today. I'm not trying to offend anyone. The word of God isn't here to offend, but it will judge each of us. It convicts us. It doesn't offend us. It convicts us. We're offended because of pride. That's what makes us offended by the word. But the Spirit of God convicts the heart of sin and it offers the solution through the blood of Christ. So we're not here to pick on a person. We're here to proclaim what God's word says. And God is saying to our hearts and our minds, do you really want my presence in your life? Because I can make that happen. I can get you to that place where you and I can have that talk, but you need to do some things here. Look, listen to what the word is saying. Moses turned aside. That means he stopped following the sheep and he went after this bush that was burning, but was not consumed. And as soon as God saw that, he saw somebody he could use. It wasn't about Moses. It was about God in this particular situation. You know what I'm talking about here, don't you? You saw something that God was trying to do. You turned aside and said, okay, let me go check out what's happening. And God said, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And you have to say to yourself, well, am I listening? That's really what we need to get at, because God is already calling some of us and our lives have been so messed up and so broken. God is yelling. He's gotten us to a place where he is just yelling and screaming. And yet at the same time, we're just still kind of going, huh? Well, let me tell you why it's so hard for the Christian today in America, even in the midst of brokenness, to hear from God. Let me tell you why. Because we carry on a very misunderstood relationship with God based on what I call some of the worst preaching that has ever been done in American history over the last 25 years. We have concocted a doctrine that says, if I live this way, God had better move this way. And God is my eternal genie, my cosmic Santa Claus, who's supposed to bless me. Therefore, if I'm broke or something's wrong with me, I've done something wrong. Something's happened. Something's gone wrong with my life. When that, none of that's true. It could be, I am consecrating you. Well, how does God consecrate? I have never known consecration to take place in a situation that is painless. We can look back in history and look at Moses and see that God was the one who led him in the desert. It was God who positioned him before the mountain so that he could get his attention. But many of us Christians, we have become so messed up about who God is and his role in our lives. We connect God with stuff and possessions and the well-being and peace and all of that. And when those things don't happen, we wonder. Because the preaching from the pulpit has been some of the worst doctrinally sound preaching in human history. God's supposed to make us prosperous. If you are a king's kid, why aren't you living like a king? Well, Jesus didn't live like one. Why would I want to live better than Jesus? Am I entitled to live better than him? But it's this messed up stuff that when trouble comes, Christians break and they falter. And instead of hearing from God, this is what they hear. They hear depression and despair, and they get on medication because they don't know how to pray, because they don't realize that there is a voice that is crying out in the storm saying, I've got a plan. That's why we can't hear him. Because we're going to size him up based on how we live. And it's not how we live. Moses just killed somebody. And God has just called him to be the greatest prophet in the nation of Israel. Are you kidding me? The man is a refugee. He is a fugitive from the law. He has murdered somebody. God calls him. And you talking about, oh, I messed up stuff. You could not have created a bigger mess than Moses did. And if God called Moses, who was running from the law, no wonder he was in the desert where he could hide. Listen, he got to be calling you. He got to be calling you. Well, Pastor, I just know that if I hadn't have done such and such, you need to back off of that, because that's straight from the pit of hell. Because when God called Moses, he did not say, now, Moses, we need to talk about this murder thing. He said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. Now go. It was Moses who was trying to tell God why he isn't qualified. When God calls you, he has already settled your record. He doesn't need to bring it up because he has already dealt with it. He has pardoned it and he is ready to move on. But Christians, especially in America, who have this mindset of trying to pay their own way, see, they have trouble with God and storms don't make sense to them. And that's why they break under them. And that's why Christian marriages are as quick to dissolve as sinful marriages or marriages between non-believers. Why? Because they don't understand how it's all put together. And it is the fragmentation of a marriage, that fractured relationship, that messed up situation where God wants to say, and I got a plan. We don't want your plan. We want out. Because we have decided it should be like this. Y'all not listening, and that's okay. Listen to me now, though. You will still stay in a mess until you listen. He gonna get your attention one way or another. You never will read in this Bible, in this text or in any passage, where Moses says to God, you know what, I'm sorry for being a sinner. He was saying, God, don't talk to me because I'm not the one. And God says, yeah, but see, there's a problem, Moses. I don't make mistakes. So if I'm talking to you, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. Yeah, but I'm not the right person. Do you know how many wrong persons, if you will, quote unquote, God has chosen out of the Bible? People who don't add up or measure up to our moral standards, it's filled with them. And I'm not going to go through and elucidate on them or elaborate on them. I'm going to say this. I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people who didn't do everything right. I'm one of those people who wasn't perfect. I'm one of those people who messed up. But God didn't say, you messed up. Gotcha. God just said, go do this. No excuses and no refusals. Go do. Go and do. And I believe God is calling somebody today. I believe God is calling you to repent. He's calling you to rededicate. He's calling you to renew. He's calling you to get saved. He's calling you to make it right. Bow your heads with us. If you want God to make things right, you got to position yourself where He can speak to you and you can hear from Him. How many of you know that you can hear from God right now in this place, in this room? Lift your hand up where God can see it. Amen. He's speaking. And you have no idea what's on His mind until He opens His mouth and you hear His voice. He wants you to know that He loves you. And as His condition, He wants you to know that that problem, that habit, that addiction, that consequence that you're now facing because of a poor choice, He's got all of that covered, and He wants you to serve Him. Forget about your past and embrace the future that He has for you. And if you can hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Give your heart to Him so that He can change you, so that you won't go back and make the same mistake tomorrow that you made yesterday. But you've got to make that decision. Right now, if you're ready to just simply say, Lord, I need You, change my life. Raise your hand up high so we can see it. And God, we're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. God's going to change your life. I see you, I see you, I see you. We're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Just as You spoke to Moses, You still speak through Your word to Your people. Remove the busyness. Remove the distractions of life that cause our ears and our hearing to become dull, our hearts to become careless. And speak a word from heaven that will be life-changing and transforming. For those who lifted up their hands, meet them at the place of their need. For those, O Lord, today who lifted up their hearts but not their hands, meet them as well. And then, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that if there is someone who is facing brokenness in their lives, let them know that where there is brokenness, there is a plan. And that You are calling them to exercise the blessings of God that lie in the midst of their storm. All they have to do is turn aside and give their lives to Jesus so that they can hear Your purpose for their life. Now, Lord, we bless You today and we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.